who demanded that the capital gains tax be reduced, if not eliminated, because it was preventing the investment of capital needed to create jobs for their members. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday, everybody. I'm flying solo right now. Hopefully, we're going to have an appearance by the Queen of Conspiracy herself. Within a few minutes, we shall see. I'm Kenny Enney. Call in. It's Open Mic Friday, so we can talk about whatever you want. 238-5775, 238. KPRL. I'm going to start off with something different because you probably have already gathered we'll be discussing school board stuff and craziness on campus, and Darsha will probably talk about elections, but I'm going to talk about what I've been doing for the last couple of days, and that's harvesting my wheat. And a lot of people around here have problems with ground squirrels. I have problems with wild pigs. And when you put grain out in a field, whether it's wheat or barley, it's like throwing crack cocaine out in front of addicts. So if someone can text in on the text line and guess how many pigs were out in the fields last night, I will take your number, and you are welcome to come out and get a free guided hunt out on the ranch. So I've played around with heirloom wheats since I've lived here, so probably for about 14-15 years. And when I moved to the area, I was told by most of the old timers that you can't grow wheat, it's too dry, not enough rain. But as I did my own research, I realized that most of the modern wheats are the post-World War II wheat. That is true. You're going to need about 15-16 inches of rainfall annually in order to get a harvest off the modern wheats. But the pre-World War II, the pre-Green Revolution wheats, you can actually get a harvest with about 8 to 10 inches of rainfall. Yields aren't that great, but I've spent years trying to develop what I call a library of different grains, and I've got ancient grains like Kamut or Khorasan wheat, which was supposedly, the legend is, it was found in a tomb by a World War II American serving in Egypt, and brought a handful back to his dad, who grew wheat in Montana. And the trademark name on that is Kamut, but it's commercially known as Khorasan. Doubles it as a Durham wheat, but super drought tolerant. And good news for me, the pigs haven't, I'm probably jinxing myself, but the pigs haven't touched it yet. So there's, I've got Harani wheat, which is, legend has it was found in during an excavation of the Mossad in Israel, either back in the 1950s or 60s. And it's another ancient grain. And then I've got a variety of European and American wheats, hard red wheats. Sonora white is probably the one that would have been very common around here. And then I've got red fife. And we're being joined by our special guest. The Queen of Conspiracy herself is here. I guess I should turn your microphone on.
Thanks, Kenny. I plead no contest.
Okay. She was faster. I don't want to know how fast you're driving because she said she was out on Ranchita Canyon about 5 minutes ago. But anyways, I've been playing around with this stuff. I'm finally at the point where I'm getting a good supply of it. Every time I start getting it going, I get overrun by pigs. So I got one guess, 65. All right. So we're gonna mark these, and at the end of the show, whoever's closest will get a guided hunt out on the ranch. I'm not gonna butcher it for you. You will have to have a license and a
life skills
and a tag. But at least you get to go home with a large boar. We've probably killed about five or six of these big things.
Kenny, you're just not supposed to talk about that.
Oh, is that not politically correct? Is Kevin going to get in trouble if I talk about killing animals on the radio?
Well, you have literal pigs. I have figurative pigs. How's
yeah.
that?
Being well, overrun. I'm talking about real porcine, not politicians. But I guess I could understand the confusion. But yeah, a lot of pigs, so... Text in your guesses. Sorry. So how are you? Why were you running so late?
Well, I actually have a day job, or I have clients that still think they're clients.
Hey,
anyway.
I have a day job too, actually.
And I was gathering information, research and development. But technically, I thought that I could handle a quick call coming in, and it was not a quick call. And I finally said, I have to get out of here.
Do you have Bluetooth on your car?
Yeah, but I have. And I have five different places on the way in here where the call will drop. So
didn't you just tell them I'll call you in a few minutes?
I just said I gotta go.
I guess we see where your priorities are there, Missy.
Thank you, everyone. What a wonderful world we live in, and a great day to be alive, right?
What do you want to start with? Do you want me to cover all my boring stuff from the school board meeting?
I know, and I have a few election because we are still in election season.
Well, I want to talk about Spencer Pratt later on and what I heard on the radio when I was harvesting.
Oh, what'd you hear? Because I'm still supposedly spreading misinformation.
I don't know. I don't think this is misinformation because it came from Lars Larson.
I like Lars. Go ahead.
But it was Conspiracy Thursday, so it might have been.
And what shirt am I wearing today?
You've
I actually
got your
changed.
Conspiracy shirt on. So what I heard was it is possible for him to be a write-in candidate, which I think would be hilarious if they thought they, you know, killed him and like Jason from Friday the 13th, he rises back. Maybe that should be the next AI video they do is, you know, they think they've killed Spencer Pratt and he comes back with the hockey mask and chainsaw. That was Jason, right?
Well, what I like are the pictures of the cemeteries with the I voted stickers.
Yeah. But, you know, if comrade, whatever, Rathalm, what is her name? Nathia something or another. Ramen. If Ramen and Bass split the vote, he could come in and split them. Take it all.
Well, there are a few things. So as a write-in candidate, you have to be a qualified write-in candidate. And in the general election, I'm not actually sure if that is allowed.
I already looked it up.
That was
it is
supposed to be in the
caller. Primary. You're on the air.
Good job. Thank you.
Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how are you?
Wait, I'm here too.
We heard you did my damning speech at the school board. As I'm walking back after condemning the pervert for not being arrested for indecent exposure, a teacher that had been sitting behind me said, "She graduated."
Right. That was actually a parent. I saw that.
Oh, was it a parent?
Yeah.
You saw that.
But there have been incidents where staff and faculty have accosted the speakers. And one was, I think it was this year. It was the beginning of the school year. Maybe it was last year. And, and they had somebody accost the... Calvary Paso folks for protesting boys in the girls' locker room. So
I told her, well, there'll be others.
Well, hopefully
that's
not.
True.
Hopefully,
well, we'll
you know.
What happens when the Supreme Court rules?
I'm hoping everybody's praying hard on that one.
Here's my question for you, Kenny.
Okay.
So, are we following state laws or are we following federal laws?
It depends on which day of the week it is and whether it's
Constitution Friday.
Whether it benefits the school district or not. Hey, Dale, I'm going to let you go, sir.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, okay.
On LCLAT, our staff says we have to follow state law and doesn't care about the Constitution, right?
Right, and that's why I have that on my discussion list so I can bring that up. But this was the action item. So for those who don't understand, LCAP is Local Control Accountability Plan, and it basically describes how state funds are going to be spent at each of the locals within the district and each of the local sites, and that's your local control funding formula.
And if they give preference to a particular race, that's okay.
Yeah, in their eyes.
Well, we'll listen to you off the air.
Okay. Bye. But what Dale was talking about was there's an item that it was called Cultural Sensitivity, Inclusion, and Acceptance, which smells a lot like diversity, equity, and inclusion to me. And this action item is... they were authorizing, the vote was to basically to approve this whole thing, which meant for this action item, there'd be $50,000 allocated to it. And what that meant was this would give training to equip staff with the resources and knowledge to address offensive language when heard in and outside of the classroom, thereby building a school culture which is accepting of all students and intolerant of derogatory comments and behaviors. The African American student group was in the red indicator in the California school dashboard page for suspensions, and the English learner / Hispanic and 2+ race groups were in the red orange indicator as well. And so I had asked, let's change the wording because that's a big red flag right now, especially since you have Arizona State University under investigation for similar wording, basically allocating funds to a specific race group. I had spoken with Loftus about it, and she said, you know, we got to put it that way. Otherwise, Brescia and the County Office of Education won't approve it because it's state law. And my comment was, okay, well, why don't we tone the wording down? And she said, that's the wording they told us that we had to put in.
I think it should be more all-inclusive. I think it should be tolerant. I think it should be inclusive. And I think that it should bring us all together.
You've gone to the dark side. Did you hit your head on the way in?
I might have, actually.
It is hot. Maybe, are you dehydrated?
Well, I do understand that Cal Poly will have... a celebration for a certain race group. And, you know...
Well, the problem is, as I pointed out to Loftus and the board the other night, this is in direct violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which says if you're taking federal funds, you cannot allocate any money for the benefit of a specific race group. And we spelled it out here. When I brought it up, the speaker... at the board meeting said, well, Mr. Ennie, we have to give it to those groups because they're the ones that need the help. Which, again, if you just listen to what's going on with the equal employment opportunity, the Justice Department just said, hey, it's unconstitutional to have race quotas on the job place. So I voted no. Yeah, there was a record scratch. Everybody was upset. They called for the vote. Nobody even wanted to discuss it. So what this means potentially for the district is we're going to, you know, authorize $50,000 to pay for, you know, it. This is really, in my opinion, the bigotry of low expectations that you have to have training in order to deal with somebody that looks different from you. Bothers me at on the base. But we're going to get $6,251,242 from the federal government, according to this 26-27 budget. That could all potentially be on the line.
And that's why I brought it up. Are we following the state laws? Are we following the federal laws? Because if the federal government is the one funding, then they you have to follow the federal laws. And when they're everyone says, oh, well, the state's the supremacy clause and the state's rights, the state's gets to decide. That also comes into the elections similarly. You know, the state legislature can determine its own elections processes. But when you have a federal election and when you have a federal funding for the schools, and I think it was back in, 2010, Arnold Schwarzenegger went with the race to the top. That's when our schools became federally funded.
They've always been
federally funded, but that's when it was, you must, where the federal government had a say in the curriculum and what was
happening. Since we're on the topic of federal funds and some of the federal funds that are potentially on the line are for...
I suggest you go for the federal funds, and the state funds are drying up. So whatever the federal government
right
wants.
Now, you have what's called Fund 13, which is our basically food nutrition fund. And I think we get about $4 million in federal nutrition funds. And federal dollars don't carry over year to year. You have to. This is one of the things. Yeah, this is one of the things I hated about being in the Marine Corps was, at the end of the year, if you had been a good steward of the taxpayers' money, you actually got penalized at the end of the fiscal year because they would say, "Oh, you didn't really need all that money, so we're going to cut your budget," and so you'd have this mad rush in August and September to get rid of all your excess funds so that on October 1st, the beginning of the federal fiscal year, you could say, hey, look, I used it all. Well, one of the agenda items from Tuesday night was a compost accelerator for the food services. And this thing is, where is that? It was...
So for all the food that gets wasted?
There are two of them, $85,387.50. It includes two 250-pound units, one for Glen Spec and the other one for the Culinary Arts Center. And basically what this is you throw all your compostable material in there and you hit a button, and a couple hours later it cooks all the moisture out, and you have compost. And I'm a farmer rancher, I compost, but you don't need an $85,000 piece of equipment to do it. So I threw out, why don't you get a vermiculture system for like $6,000 and the kids could play with it.
Or some goats.
And I said, this is a Ferrari. And the response from the staff member was, oh, I like Ferraris. And then everybody on the board is like, oh, we like Ferraris.
When it's not your money.
When it's not your money. But, that's an example of your taxpayer, your tax dollars at work there. We got to spend all this money before the end of the fiscal year, so we're going to get an $85,000 composter. And, the board's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I'm really excited.
I think that would be a really great life skill for the children to be able to learn how to do their own farming, backyard growing of their own food.
And they're trying to do that.
Their hands in the earth. And
or in the compost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the reasons, and I agree with it, and I'm not opposed to that. But what the comment was from the presenter was when I said, "Why don't you just get a system and dump the food?" Well, you don't even have to touch the food here, and you don't have to turn it or anything. Okay, well, it just sounds like you just don't want to be bothered with it. Which tells me this thing is probably going to break within a year or two, or nobody's going to be using it because nobody knew what the original plan was. So I failed again on that one. So we now we're going to, by the beginning of the school year, we're going to have two $85,000 compost accelerators.
So how does the wasted food get from the cafeterias or otherwise to the composter?
5-gallon bucket. I don't know. I would have the little kids do it. Well, when I was in school, we had to, each class had to spend a, you know, they had a week of duty, and you had to work in the cafeteria or help the custodial staff, and that was public school. All right, back in a minute.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bourdain to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm deciding whether I'm going to turn Darsha's microphone on. She's in a mood. All right, I'll go ahead.
Penny says that he's going to finish his discussion about the school board.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
because
we got a
text, and the text says the last few board meetings I've seen a number of them. I'm assuming board members, on their cell phone, computers, and others. I think they forget that anything they do at the board meetings is open to public information request. Private electronics or not. That's very true. And I probably know exactly who you're talking about. Although this last meeting, I can't, you know, because I'm off at the end. I'm the odd man out, so I'm way down on the end. But I noticed pretty much all of them were on their cell phones or personal computers during the course of the evening.
Looking for guidance or?
I think they were doing other stuff, but that's purely speculation. But, you know, the good news is for the board, one of the informations the other night was for a pay raise for the board. Would you like to speculate how much of a pay raise we're going to get?
$120.
No, not even close. Try again.
$2,000.
Closer.
$120 a month.
Oh no. Well, right now we get $277 a month. But within the information item where we reviewed, you know, 30 different policies and bylaws was bylaw 9250, remuneration, reimbursement, and other benefits for the board. And right now, I apologize up front, but I'm not going to be at the board meeting on the 23rd. And this thing suddenly popped up after I said that I was not going to be at the board meeting on the 23rd.
Let's have it then.
We're going to approve most likely on the 23rd, a 330% pay raise for the board members. It's going to go from $277 a month to $1,200 a month. And on top of that, I have to
Hold on a minute. This is the first I've known about this. So hold on a minute. What is the justification?
The state authorized pay raises for board members. Let me see if they got that chart in here. I don't think they do. No, I don't see the chart in here. But depending on the size of your school district, you could be making up, you could be making big coin. Like in LA County, I want to say it's like $6,000 a month or something like that. So right now, most likely the board is going to approve this on Tuesday the 23rd. I will be at the United States Naval Academy getting my son ready to have his head shaved before becoming a member of the class of 2030. And I don't think we deserve it. But I will tell you this. I will continue to do what I do with my stipend now. I'll give it back to the students that I think deserve it. So it'll go to, you know, FFA, it'll go to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the robotics clubs, things like that. One thing I would like to do, because this is a lot more money. So I'm thinking big now. How am I going to reward kids that need to be rewarded? How are we going to, what's the carrot that I'm going to throw out there?
You think they want a new composter?
Can I?
Oh, okay.
I'm going to hit
well,
the,
well, you
I'm
asked
gonna hit
a
the
question.
Mic. I was still talking. That was a rhetorical question. So $1,200 is, that's a lot of money a month. That's probably more than I can spend by myself. I can't spend that by myself. So what I'm thinking, because I'm trying to figure out how to incentivize kids to do well on the CASP test, the standardized test. So what I'm going to start doing is any kid that makes 100%, which unfortunately right now will be maybe 5 in the district, I think I'm going to give them a nice scholarship check, $250. But I think, you know, this is one of the ways where we as a community could come together and reward kids. There was one student that graduated last week. I'll go ahead and throw his name out because I like him and he won't mind. But his name is Kingston Lacey, son of Danny Lacey. But he's the only high schooler that made a perfect score on math in the CASP. And I was trying to get things together to recognize him and reward him, because that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I think the community could do. Here's a reward. Start incentivizing the kids in the third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade that you do well, you get a reward. You do poorly, you get a punishment.
Well, I'd like to even go one more step further with your money and say that, you know, if you have,
because it is other people's money,
95% plus, that you have a lower reward, so that,
well, I could do that. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
You're still, you know, 100% is tough. I mean, that's really tough. And we want to incentivize people that maybe they're at 90% to get to 95%. That's totally doable.
Yeah. But, you know, right now, I know there are lots of scholarship programs in the community, but it's really focused for the graduates. And I'm looking at something more to incentivize kids to perform
to actually take the test and be, I'm sorry, the term was, when I was at the school board meeting, being motivated by the test.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I was motivated by a couple $100. So, still am. So.
Well, that's honorable, Kenny. Thank you. Thank you for putting that out there. Perhaps you'd like a matching program.
Yeah, we could do that. But unfortunately, I will not be here. I will fail miserably in blocking it. I don't know if I would have been able to block it anyways. So we'll see how that turns out.
There does need to be a justification. So I think that it's to the public. This is public school system, and the public is paying for this increase in salary, regardless of whether it's a state law or not. Is it a federal law? That I think that it does need to have the
justification. If it were a federal law, we wouldn't be following it.
Exactly.
It's a federal recommendation. It's a state law.
You got my sarcasm. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. We'll be back after the break. At least one of us will be. I don't know the way things are going. All right.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.